This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zioli Show. And do us a big favor, please. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing always helps. Tell your friends. Enjoy the podcast.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
The president announced the government reopening for 3 weeks. And then if they can't have a deal then, it'll close again in 3 weeks. Now, a lot of people are super upset right now. And I'm getting flooded with tweets and emails. The president caved. He caved. This is it. It's over. It's done. I'm as surprised as you are, quite frankly. I didn't expect this. If I were a betting man, I woke up today and you would have told me that this would have happened this afternoon, I would not have taken that bet. But like Phil Kirpin, who's a really smart guy, and Phil's been on the show a bunch of times, and he's in no way, shape, or form a Trump sycophant. But he tweeted out something earlier. He said that this ending the shutdown for 3 weeks so he can give the State of the Union on schedule and eviscerate the Dems on border security, the president is raising the stakes, not folding. That's his opinion. Okay. Now, other people have had an entirely opposite approach to that. Like Carlos Spicy Wiener on Twitter, who says this is a complete cave. Trump will get no funding for the wall and will not declare an emergency. He lost his reelection bid today. So it's all over the map. What do you think? 855-839-1210. First of all, you know, I'm glad Rush finally said today what I've been saying for weeks. This national emergency declaration is not a way out of this nonsense. It's not. I'm sorry, but it's not. I always want to be honest with you. And sometimes I'm on the sometimes I feel like I'm in a lonely minority of conservative talk show hosts. I'll give you an example. For years, I've been talking about the over-militarization of police. Now, you know, I am a huge defender of law enforcement. Huge. I'm an advocate of law enforcement. I'm the son of a cop. I grew up around cops. I honor cops on this show every month. But I have been talking about the over-militarization of the police in this country at all levels ever since I got on the radio. Ever since. And I've had people on like Radley Balco, who wrote a book called The Rise of the Warrior Cop. It doesn't mean I don't want cops to be safe. It doesn't mean that when they go into a standoff, I don't want them to have the latest technology and hardware and armor, et cetera. It's that when the government has lots and lots of ability to use that, even if you're not a threat, they will. And we saw that today with Roger Stone. Did we not? We saw him. They went in there today like he was Ilian Gonzalez. Now, that kid was a threat, no doubt. They went in there today like he was little Ilian Gonzalez hiding in the closet with his dad. That's how they treated Roger Stone today. And I've been warning about this stuff for years. And it doesn't mean I don't support law enforcement. It just means that the militarization of law enforcement, it's inevitable that government would use it as an intimidation tool. Was Roger Stone really a threat? Come on. Roger Stone is a threat to fashion. No, like literally, if the fashion police came in and barged in his door, I would understand that. I would. He's an abomination when it comes to fashion. Have you ever seen the man dress? He's been in studio with me. Sometimes wears orange 70s suits. But that's about it. That's about as dangerous as Roger Stone gets. So why did we have armed FBI agents raiding his house today? What was that about? When typically you would say to his attorney, he has to surrender. Okay, here we go. This is what I mean. Using law enforcement as a tool of intimidation. And also, by the way, the notion of, I want to welcome also a lot of other conservative talk show hosts too, because I'm hearing a lot of it today. Something I've been warning about for years. But I've been on a streak lately of the things that I was warning about for years. And I was in the minority among my peers, my brethren in talk radio. And callers, too, who would fight with me on this stuff, whether it was NSA spying or the over-militarization of police or the FISA court, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was the lone voice many times warning about this stuff. And I got caught. We got to be safe. You don't support cops, on and on and on. Well, today, everybody is now saying what I've been saying for years. So welcome to the party, kids. Welcome to the party, pal. But it's an abomination, it really is, to the Constitution. It's also ridiculous that CNN was there this morning. I don't know how that happened. I guess it was just a coincidence that CNN was there just as Roger Stone was arrested by the armed federal agents. Ah! Roger Stone is not Ilian Gonzalez. He's not a little kid who's a major, major threat to national security. Obviously, Alien Gonzalez was not either. I'm trying to make a sarcastic point, but you get the point. I know you do, because you're smart enough. 855-839-1210. I'm just telling you, a lot of people today are recognizing this, but let's talk about the shutdown for a moment, shall we? Either as wandering lasagna says on Twitter, that Trump is a master of his game. Just watch him do his magic. So some people think this is still 18th dimensional chess. Are you one of those people? I'll tell you that the idea of reopening government in 3 weeks it's nonsense, because the Democrats are not going to give you what you want. So either we're going to be closed again in 3 weeks or not. But the national emergency doesn't get you out of this. And I started to say, I'm glad Rush finally said what I've been saying for weeks, which is it's not a panacea. It's not a way out. You know, a lot of conservative talk show hosts do this because they think it's what you want to hear. So they just, not you, you're too smart for that. But I think it's what they think talk radio audiences want to hear. So they give them a pablum. Oh, declare a national emergency, and then we'll have the wall, and then the government can reopen, and kumbaya, and everything goes on. No. It's not how it works. And Limbaugh laid it out today, a case that I've been making for weeks now, exactly what would happen. It goes to the courts hold it up, then the issue's off the table, then it's no longer about the wall, it's now about an emergency declaration, then it goes to the courts, the Supreme Court. By the time you even get any money approved, by the time it's all said and done, you could be looking at years. So don't fall for this nonsense that an emergency declaration, oh, well, then we'll get our wall. The only way to get the wall is to make Congress believe that there's no way the president's ever going to back down. And unfortunately, today, they realize that there is a point where he will. And there's no other way to say it. I mean, just be honest. You know, if today he came out and said, look, I'm sorry people aren't getting paychecks today. I'll happily sign a bill to pay some people. But that's it. No change. And walk back into the Oval Office. I would have said, good move. Good move. Strong. I can't say this was a strong move. So again, you know, if you are of the mindset that this is a chess game, you make your case, because I'm just not seeing it. And I'm telling you, because I'm always honest with you, had I been in the Oval Office today, I would have said, don't do this. Don't do this, sir, because what's going to happen is in 3 weeks, we're going to be shutting down the government again. You're close. You're close to getting the Democrats to cave. You're close to getting the Democrats to realize that their people, the federal workers, are too much of a liability now in terms of votes. They have to get paychecks, and the Democrats are going to cave. And they were starting to. But now, what's he going to say? I'll close it again in 3 weeks. And they're going to go, okay, you'll close it again in 3 weeks, and then you'll reopen it again. So I don't really think today was a smart political strategy. But tell me if I'm wrong. If you think I'm wrong, then please let me know, because I would love to hear from you and it would make me feel better. I just, you know, I've been in this game of politics for a long time, probably too long, since I was a little kid. But I just think that the Democrats are completely in this situation. They're not coming to the table actually wanting to work with the president. They're not coming as people who want to make a deal. That's obvious. That's obvious. They're not coming to the table to say, Mr. President, we really want to do something here. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to help him. They don't want to give him a win. They don't want to take the immigration issue off the table. And they are terrified of their wacky base. I played you yesterday the clip. I'm not going to do it again because people's ears are bleeding. But that crazy woman who was the Native American protester screaming how the wall is a symbol of white oppression, white colonialism, on and on and on. That's their base. That's the kooky base of the left. That is the Democratic Party today. And they're terrified of that party. They're terrified of that base of their party. And they will not ever give the president any money for the wall. Period. Period. Unless they believe they have no other choice. Like, unless they believe the government's never going to reopen again. But that's a mind trick you got to make them believe. And I don't know if they're going to believe that now. So 855-839-1210. All right, let's get some calls. I want to hear from you on this. Mike is in Philadelphia. Mike, you're first up. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rich, love the show. I was totally deflated by the decision today. I'm a federal government worker. I've missed a second check, but I was in it for the long run. I'd saved. I didn't have an issue with it, and I was ready to take it to the end. And today I feel like I just got nothing out of it. And you're right, the Democrats, in the end, they're going to give Trump the finger, and there's no progress at all to be made.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just think we're going to be in the same position in 3 weeks. I hope I'm wrong, Mike. I really do. I hope I'm wrong. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call, bud, and for the nice words. Appreciate that very much. Gail is in Mount Vernon. Gail, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Good.
I feel that under the circumstances, that since the Democrats really don't care about the workers, and since the airports were starting to see the effects and, you know, air traffic controllers resigning and things getting backlogged, under the circumstances, I feel that President Trump did what he had to do, and it afforded him the opportunity to speak to a much larger mainstream media audience than he otherwise would have been afforded to speak to at length about the whole gamut of concerns with border security, which that alone is worth a lot.
No, it's not, because he did that from the Oval Office. He gave an Oval Office address.
I don't believe that was carried by all the mainstream media.
It was. It was. It was live, and it was carried on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, CBS, all of them.
That address was rather dry.
Okay. Well, but you acknowledge that he gave it, right? All right. Thank you, Gail. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. I disagree with that. This was a good way to get exposure. No, he gave a speech from the Oval Office. It was a great speech. He could have came out here today and gave an entire speech about border security, having everybody hang on every word, outlining the problem and the case, and then at the very end say, but still not opening the government till I get my wall and walk back inside. Now let's talk about the airports for a second, because I'm hearing a lot of this is do everybody forget when Reagan fired 11,000 air traffic controllers? Are we just going to forget that now that happened? Because that happened. The president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, fired 11,345 striking air traffic controllers. He didn't cave and go, oh, well, you know, I can't have air travel be affected. What do you need? Fire their asses. Okay, let's see. Carol's in Hatboro. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you, Mr. Zioli, first-time caller? And I just wanted to let you know that I am totally behind the president 100%. I was very proud of what he said today, and I'm not going to lie to you. I think the most important thing is that we finally have some light at the end of the tunnel. But I also would like to add a codicil. I think that the president, if this doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to, take their salaries away from them, a reelected official, because they're not worth it anymore.
Well, I don't understand. Take their salary away from them. How do you do that?
Well, just turn around and say, you know what? Your pay has been suspended until you sit down to the table and negotiate.
Yeah, I don't think he has the power to do that. All right. Thank you, Carol. Thank you for the call. I'm glad you made a first-time call. Appreciate it. Don't let it be the last. 855-839-1210. I don't think he has the ability to suspend their pay. But if the government was shut down, certainly a lot of people weren't getting paid. But the legislative branch is a separate branch. I don't know how he would have the ability to suspend their pay. So the president can't just suspend Congress's pay. I have to say that. I'm not trying to be mean. It was important for me to have facts. I want you to have all the facts. And to be, if information goes out over the airwaves on the show that's incorrect, I feel a responsibility to correct it. That's all. Let's see here now. Tamara in Havertown. Tamara, go ahead.
Hi, Rich. Yeah, I wanted to say that my biggest concern about what the president said today is that he showed his hand. When he said that he would ultimately declare a national emergency, I think that ended it right there. I think the Democrats are going to let him do that. They're going to just play this out and not do anything to cooperate and let him declare a national emergency, because then they know the whole matter is just going to get caught up in the legal system, and it's just going to postpone getting a wall, if we ever get a wall.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think your analysis is spot on. I think it's exactly what the Democrats would love him to do. Declare a national emergency, get the issue off the table, let it go to the courts, and move on with life. I think they would love it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, and have a great weekend, Tamara. I appreciate it very much. Let's see here. Jane in Cherry Hill. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Well, I don't think he caved. Truthfully, and I kind of agree what your last caller was saying, But I think he's got another card up his sleeve, and I don't think he's going to use that. I can't tell you what the other card up your sleeve is, but when nobody ever thought this guy was going to win, I thought he was going to win the presidency. So I don't know. There's something about him and the way he presented it today. I know there was a confusion as far as the speech a couple weeks ago that he gave, as far as immigration. But for some reason today, that speech today was different. And I saw him in a different light today. You know, I've never been, like, absolutely crazy about the guy, but I agree with a lot of the things that he says and he thinks. And today, for some reason, I don't know, I kind of felt in sync with him today. And that's my opinion today.
Well, listen, I think that the point that you're making, first part, which is that Donald Trump is a different kind of a person, right? So normally you'd say, yeah, somebody caved. But with Trump, there's a thing about saying, yeah, but he's different. So I understand that point fully. As far as what he said today, I guess in my mind, the power of the presidency is a lot more than a 2 o'clock or 2:30 Rose Garden address when most people are at work and most people are not going to hear it live and they're going to get snippets from the news. So I have to I have to disagree with that point. I think that the Oval Office address, a speech at the wall, those things are different. But I think people are over.
Yeah, maybe for the next 21 days he'll utilize that. Maybe he'll get that kind of feedback from, you know, his base and really, you know, really go into play like he does going out cross country all the time and, you know, having basically pep rallies, you know, for all his causes and everything. Like, he has an opportunity for these next 21 days.
Right.
To really, really make a play for it and say, you know, we're at an impasse here, but we can do something that's going to, you know, to benefit the whole country. I mean, when you were talking about the whole airport thing, the only thing I disagree with you there is that, you know, I see that as, the president's number one priority is to protect the citizens of this country. And if anything should happen in the skies, anything or any foreign power even came in and took advantage of that, anything like that, Donald Trump would be dirt, absolute dirt. I mean, it's bad enough as it is that he's criticized for every little thing that he does. But something that affects the populace like that, you know, I think that may have played into it a little bit, too. I really do. So there you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Jane. I appreciate the call. Okay. I just, I have to disagree. I think that the idea that safety and security, planes falling out of the sky, this is all the stuff that they were going to say from day one. So why do we... Why are we here, in other words? Why are we here at this point? What's changed? From day one, they were talking about this. Planes falling out of the sky, terrorists taking over planes, the airports not being safe, the food not being safe, the milk not being safe, the beef not being safe. Safe, 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 safe. If safe is your way of saying, hey, this is the highest priority of a president and government, keeping us safe, you can justify every action of government. Got to keep us safe. So we can't have the FBI, the FDA furloughed food safety. We can't have this. I mean, yes, exactly. You can do that. And Democrats play up on that point. But they're going to do it again in 3 weeks, you know, if the government shuts down again. So that's going to happen. So if in 3 weeks now there's no deal and the government shuts down again, it's all going to ratchet back up again. And, you know, what then? Do you turn around and say, yeah, well, it mattered then, but not now? The safety and security of the airs and the airplanes and the skies and everything else? I mean, I don't know. It's the problem always of people saying that the federal government is necessary for our safety and security in all these matters. I'm not so sure I agree with that. Planes are still getting inspected by the airline industry. If the air traffic controllers walk out, fire them and replace them with private contractors who will not get paid at the moment and get paid later down the road. I don't know. I mean, there's ways around it. But if that's the mindset, how are we ever going to be in a position where holding government closed is a tool of negotiation? And from that perspective, then it should never be shut down, right? Because it's... And I don't fundamentally agree with this fact that the United States was dangerous. I think it's propaganda. I really do. It's propaganda. 30-something days of a partial government shutdown, And the media every day with a new story of heartache and fear and heartache and fear every day until it wears people down. And that's the goal. That's the goal of it. So government's reopened. Democrats are still not going to give any money for the wall. That's not going to change. So 3 weeks from now, when we're in the same place and those arguments all come back up, then I guess we'll just, I don't know. It's from my perspective, I think that this is the always the problem of why the left seems to win with these things. They tend to scare the bejesus out of us, whether it's old, you know, grandma losing her Social Security check, or little Johnny's not going to get money to food to be able to eat at school, or planes out of the sky. That's always what they do to motivate us to spend more money and keep government open and grow government and on and on and on. So, you know, I personally have a problem with that. By the way, I invite you to call. It doesn't mean I'm going to agree with you. It doesn't mean I'm not going to push back. I got some email from somebody. Oh, you're better than this. You're not being patient with the callers. Look, I don't have to be. I don't have to be. There's a large audience here, all right? If the call quality is not good, if the call goes on too long, I'll make that determination, all right? I'll make that choice. You call the show. I'm not. This is not NPR. This is not a, well, tell me how you feel. I want to know how you feel. You tell me how you feel. If I disagree with you, I'm going to tell you. Otherwise, it's boring radio. Our job here still is to entertain you on this drive home on a Friday. And it is Friday, so happy Friday. Max is in Autobahn. Max, how are you, sir?
Hey, good, Rich. How you doing?
Good.
Wanted to know if there is any precedent that the president can go directly to the Supreme Court to render a decision prior to announcing his national emergency. So that would preempt the Dems from going to a lower court. What do you think about that?
I'm not aware of any method by which that could happen, because typically there's only a way the court hears a case is if somebody is harmed by it and they file suit. So I don't know how that process would work. I'm not an attorney. I'm not an expert on that, so I can't answer, you know, for sure. But I'm not aware of that. I believe that what would happen is, you know, first somebody would be affected. But you know what? Here's the thing. A judge, the minute that executive order is issued, a judge would absolutely, some nutty lefty judge, would say it's unconstitutional and put a hold on it, right? It's going to get to the Supreme Court anyway.
But can the Supreme Court themselves issue a national emergency?
No, they don't have the power to do that.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I wasn't sure if that might be part of the plan or something like that, because we know it's going to go to court.
Yeah, it is. It's going to go to court. And I think that this court would side with the president's power to do it. I do. I just don't know how quickly it would happen.
Yeah, it would take at least a year and a half, probably.
Unfortunately, yeah. Some people think maybe the courts would expedite it because it's the president. But, you know, it took them a long time to rule on the issue with the president's temporary ban on immigration from certain countries. You know what
sure.
I mean? I wish it was a month, but unfortunately it's not.
Yeah.
Max, thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, take care. Thanks.
You got it. 855-839-1210. Let's go to Phil in Boyertown. Phil, go ahead.
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
Good. You?
Great, man. It's Friday. And I'm
happy Friday. Sun is shining. It's a beautiful day.
That's great. Hey, so I was just wondering, I don't know if you know or not, you may not, but so now that the government's open again, does that mean we're going to get the State of the Union next Tuesday?
I would imagine so. Yeah. In fact, Phil Kirpin thinks that what the president did today was really smart, because now we get the State of the Union and he gets to hammer Democrats over immigration.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that as a, you know, something positive. I think also, you know, knowing Trump, he's real good friends with the, Kraft that owns the Patriots. So at least he can go sit in the Super Bowl and the government's not shut down, so the optics won't be as bad.
Well, that's true. A lot of people were talking about the Super Bowl in terms of the optics of the government shutdown affecting it, airports, all that stuff. Yeah, no doubt. That's absolutely true. The question, though, becomes when Democrats don't give him the money for a wall in 3 weeks, are we going to be back in this exact same spot? And sadly, I think we will be.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, too.
And I don't know a way around that, Phil. I really don't, other than to make them think that he'll never back down. So that's the only problem with backing down.
Right. No, I agree. If they shut it down again, it's got to stay down. So hopefully there's no you know, big games or speeches coming up you know, in March or April.
All right, Phil. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Greg is in Cherry Hill. Greg, go ahead.
Genius. I believe what he did was genius, and let me tell you why, Rich. And by the way, I enjoy the show.
Thank you.
every time I reluctantly turn on CNN, I hear crying Chuck Schumer talking about how can we negotiate with the government closed down. I think by opening up the government, he is showing compassion. He's showing the American people that he's reasonable. If no deal is made in the 3 weeks, you can't blame Trump. He opened the government. He's trying to negotiate a deal. And he could say to the American people, they told me that they need the government open to negotiate. They lied. In 3 weeks, shut the government down again. It's on the Democrats.
All right. I mean, there's no doubt about that in terms of saying, hey, you know, they... But I'm telling you right now, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are already talking and saying that they're still not going to do wall money.
Well, you know,
so they're already saying that today. So that's the problem, is that the issue of the wall money, they're never going to come up with it. You know, and they're not praising him as being a guy who opened up the government. They're still saying that he took hostages, on and on, the nonsense, as you would expect they would. But the Democrats do not expect them, don't expect that, I'm not saying you do, to come to the table and say, well, you know what, let's start over, let's start fresh. Because I think they're incapable of doing that, in my opinion.
You're going to have parts of his base that are going to say he caved, and I understand that. But this may very well play well with independents.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. Eric is in New Jersey. Eric, go ahead.
Hi, Rich. How are you? I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
I was just calling. I'm basically done with the guy, with Trump. He looked to me, he just mailed it in. He was driving down the field, and he just mailed it in with this decision.
So you say you're done. What, you'll never vote for him again?
Well, yeah, I'm staying home. I figure I might as well take a day off that day. In 2020.
Well, you're upset now, but by the time that comes around, if some kooky lefty's on the ballot, do you really think you'll stay home?
Well, we're moving to socialism. Might as well get it over with at one point.
No, that's true. You know? Would expedite the process, right?
Yeah, expedite the process. Maybe in 20 years we'll get over it. By the time I'm retiring.
Well, if I were to bet, I bet you vote in 2020. I bet you do.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong. Right, look, Eric, I don't know you, man. Maybe I'm wrong. But here's the good news. You're from New Jersey, so and so am I. Our votes don't count, so there's that. So we have that going for us, which is nice, you know?
All right.
No, because New Jersey's going to go blue no matter what. So, you know, if you were in Pennsylvania, I would tell you, Eric, you absolutely have to be there. But if you want to sit out in New Jersey just to make a point, that's understandable.
No, it's yeah, you're right. I mean, my vote doesn't make a difference here.
Not in New Jersey, it doesn't, sadly. And that's a terrible thing. One more reason to leave, my friend. One more reason to leave. Eric, thanks for the call, bud. Have a good weekend. 855-839-1210. Let's see here. Why don't we hear from the vampiric one, shall we? The Speaker of the House.
Two resolutions. One, to open up government for all of the agencies of government. And one, to proceed to conference on the Homeland Security bill. We're pleased that we reached an agreement to reopen government now so that we can have a discussion on how to secure our borders. It is very clear that we all understand the importance of securing our borders, and we have some very good ideas on how to do that, and that will be part of the discussion as we go forward. House Democrats look forward to working in a bipartisan, bicameral way to pass all of the bills to open government as we proceed into the conference discussion. Now, I'm an appropriator, and I was forged in that culture, and I know, left to their own devices, that the appropriators bicamerally and bipartisanly can come to conclusion. Again, sometimes it comes to the four principals of the leaders of the House and Senate to weigh in, and I think that we will have a very productive time in a short period of time to come to some conclusion. We're grateful, inspired by the courage and the determination of America's workers. They have shown during this crisis such strong character. But nonetheless, they have to pay the bills when they come due, whether it's a rent check or paying their mortgage.
All right, so everything you'd expect here. Chip is in Doylestown. Chip, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello, Rich. Enjoy your show completely. But
thanks,
just
sir.
A quick question.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer. Under what grounds would they bring a declaration of a national emergency to court. I mean, the law has been in existence since 1976. It's been used by several presidents. There's no denying that he has the right to declare a national emergency. I don't understand the grounds, and I'm not a lawyer, and he has very smart lawyers. I'd like to know, you know, what is the grounds for this?
Look, I can't answer what the grounds would be for a judge to rule, okay?
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is that the courts obviously have extended themselves into every aspect of life. So they have decided that they are the final arbiter of whether any action is constitutional or not. Do I think it should be that way? No.
No.
Of course not. But it is what it is, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, but
so,
it's an interesting issue to me, because I really would like to understand, you know, again, what are the grounds? What can you bring it for? I think his lawyers may have this under control.
Here's what would happen, right? So I would imagine a federal judge would probably put an injunction on it, because I imagine the Democrats would sue and say the president exceeded his executive authority, much like how the Republicans sued when President Obama did the whole thing with DACA.
A different story.
I'm not here to defend, or you asked me a question, so I'm trying to give you the process, okay?
Right.
And then they would file suit, a federal judge would probably put an injunction on it, and then it's going to go through the court system. Do I think it should go that way? No, I don't, but that's how it goes. You're right back there, Chip?
I'm here.
All right. That's how it goes, unfortunately. So then the question becomes, when it gets to the Supreme Court, are they going to say this is in line with what Congress's intent was in passing the 1976 law? They're also going to cite the precedent that they have challenged the use of executive action by other presidents in the past. Different statute, but they did this with Harry Truman when he tried to federalize, I think it was a
steel. Railroads.
Yeah, the railroads. So,
right.
And the Supreme Court said he couldn't do it, that he was exceeding the statutory authority. So they're going to say that there's ample precedent for the Supreme Court to hear this case.
It's an interesting, again, it's interesting, because I might tend to disagree. I think there's some reason.
I'm not agreeing with that. You asked me a question, how it would work process-wise,
yeah,
and I just gave you the answer. I'm not saying I endorse that.
Okay.
All right,
problem.
Chip, have a good weekend, buddy. Thank you very
too.
Much. 855-839-1210. John is in Norristown. John, go ahead, sir.
Hey, I have a question, and then I have a comment.
Sure.
My question is, couldn't Trump have solved this issue of the border wall when the Senate and the House was under Republican control?
Yeah, and you know what? Quite frankly, the Republicans, Paul Ryan and the rest of them, completely failed on this point. Completely failed.
I didn't know if there was a reason why they did it. Okay. So
well, the argument they gave was because in the Senate you need 60 votes, and they'll never get 60 votes, and therefore we couldn't do it. That was their argument back then.
Okay.
But, and that hasn't changed, you know what I mean? So
right, yeah. So my question is, could this temporary opening of the government have to do with tax refunds, taxes owed, and maybe there's something we don't know about that they're trying to avoid having problems related to that? That there's something we're missing? I feel like there's something that we don't know might be a cause for opening it temporarily.
Yeah, maybe. I would hope that people get their tax refunds and go spend the money. It's our money. We should get it back. I hate when the government has our money and then they take and they give it back to us. They don't give us any interest on it. You notice that?
Right, yeah. And that's one of the things that I voted for Trump was because, you know, he was promising to lower the taxes, and now I've been waiting all year, and now it's like, wait, I might not get it. And that, like, for me, that would anger me. I'm not, you know, the wall thing's not that big to me, but the taxes is.
Yeah, look, I mean, a lot of people want their refunds, no doubt about that. John, thanks, bud. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. John is in South Philly. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Rich, thanks for having me on. Love the show.
Thank you.
Never had to wait that long on hold before. You got me drooling at the back door like a Rottweiler.
Good.
All right. So basically, the only reason, now you and I agree on everything, number one, but the only reason I think this was a good move is because I didn't vote for Donald Trump because he's a nice guy, because he's actually not. He's a tough guy. He's a way tough businessman. He doesn't get a lot of opportunities, especially in a leftist media society, to ever look like a nice guy. And to me, today was the closest thing. And the best part is that the leftist media that was broadcasting it, thinking that he was going to get up there and make some big egomaniacal angry announcement on why this failed. Instead, he thanked people and acted like a nice guy. And we both know he's not that nice at all. He makes tough stances, tough decisions on tough policies. That's why I voted for him. I think today is good because, number one, it breaks the momentum that the leftist media has had for the past month. It takes away, he is not to blame for the shutdown. He is 33% to blame, not 100. This takes away the blame and shifts now. It is 100% up to them to give him his demands. He is basically putting it out there and say, hey, guys, 3 weeks from now, we'll be here again if you don't give me what I want. And now the people that agree with the whole left are going to look to them and say, hey, are we going to let this happen again from 3 weeks from now? Give him what he wants.
Okay, but let me ask you this question. If in 3 weeks they don't give him what he wants and the government shuts down,
I know that he'll shut it down for the long haul.
Okay. I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I know that they will have really upset him and that they think that he's a big baby like they always say he is.
Okay.
They know he's prepared to shut it down for the long haul this time. I don't think they're going to push it. I really don't.
All right, John, listen, bud, I hope you're right. I really do.
Me too.
The problem is I think the leverage you have with them is that if they think that he'll never reopen government again, that he's crazy and he'll never do it, I think that's your leverage. And I think that the problem with today is that it shows them that he would reopen it if he has to. And that, I think, is the problem I see it from a negotiating perspective.
All right. Well, what about the fact that he can now give a State of the Union in the regular location in the way that it's always been done without them being able to tarnish that like they almost did? He's now able to keep that momentum with him. He wouldn't even have had
it. No doubt. And as I mentioned earlier, Phil Kirpin, who's a great friend of the show, he's on quite a bit. He's not particularly a big Trump sycophant, but he's a guy who I think calls it like he sees it, as I do. He said today that the president is making a very smart move because he will have a State of the Union address and he will be able to hammer Democrats on border security there in front of the entire nation.
Yeah.
So he thinks it's actually Trump raising the bar today.
I think he took them by surprise today. It is not what they thought he was going to do. It's definitely not what they thought he was going to say up there. He was way nice for who he is. And I don't think they liked that at all. I don't think they were prepared for it.
I think he's actually a very nice guy in person, but I think that the idea that, and thanks for the call, John, appreciate it. Have a good weekend, bud. I think, you know, he has to make them think that he's crazy. And then they'll cave. And that's my concern, is that was lost today. It's one of those things where you don't know until it's over whether or not this was the right move. So you have to make a speculation. And the point here that I think is very consistent, which I think you have to be consistent on these matters, is that if the Democrats are never going to give in on the wall, and they're not, then what do? If the answer is you do a national emergency, which the president has said, okay, but then understand, though, that that's going to go to court. Not that I agree that it should. It's going to go to court. I don't know when the timeline on that's going to be. And then in the meantime, what? And are you okay with that? Are you okay waiting through that process? That's the question. And again, for me, the wall's not my issue. It's not what motivates me as a voter. It's the courts that motivate me. It's the courts and the economy. But there are a lot of people that are motivated by that. So they're going to look at that and say, well, it's not happening. And then they're going to get all annoyed. But the court issue is, it's a big deal, unfortunately. And then, of course, you run the risk as well with a national emergency of the Democrats saying, you know, this has typically been used for things that are not controversial. To use it for something so controversial, well, you've now opened Pandora's box. And once it's open, we're going to use it for things that we find controversial or the things that we think are national emergencies that you don't. And on the game goes. 855-839-1210. John is in Fox Chase. John, your thoughts.
Hey, thanks, Rich. First of all, I don't know if you saw. I'm not a big fan of these go to Schumer and Pelosi things right after Trump. But I'll tell you, if you think it might have been a compromise on Trump's part, you should hear Pelosi say to someone who tried to bait her about this is just Trump and his power, and she pushed back and said, that's not fair to say about anybody. And then they tried to get her to say, well, then what about the wall and the wall and the wall? And she said, well, now our appropriations people are going to go sit. We're going to look at all options, including technology, everything. So she wasn't saying, no wall, no wall. She wasn't. Unfortunately, we had Chucky on the other side as the, you know, naughty Donald Trump. He was a bad boy, and I hope he learned his lesson. So that was an interesting thing to hear. But my answer to your question about, here's what I think. The people on the far left are going to say, you know, this is a threat he did. You know, he's threatening. The people on the far right are going to say he caved. And the people in the moderate, this is where I think that one of your callers earlier, she said, I feel safer. I thought he sounded like a statesman today. If for no other reason to show that he can sound like a statesman and show he's reasonable and et cetera. So some moderate Democrats, including your earlier caller from, I believe, North Dover, because, you know, there's a difference, seem pretty you know, pretty bright guy, but said that, you know, okay, maybe I'm not a Dem anymore, okay, but no other reason. So I'll just leave it with that, that I think he may have won over some moderates to say, okay, all my liberal friends have been saying, this guy is not reasonable, he's just, Schumer's saying temper tantrums, and he showed that he's being reasonable. So it's for no other reason, I think he used the pulpit a little bit, and there's my thoughts. Thanks for hearing them.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I tried to actually play a little bit of Pelosi, and then some people tweeted that they were turning off the show because they didn't want to hear her. So I'm glad you gave us the update on that point. I actually turned it off because we had to go to news. But
you'd be surprised to listen to her. She's changed her.
Well, that's good. I'll try to get the audio of that.
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
Thank you, John. Greg has it. All right, great. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. But no, I mean, that's, you know, this is, you can't win in this job sometimes. I play the audio and then people go, I'm not listening, so I'm changing the station. But the point that you made about what she said is a significant point. So this is what she said.
The president has wanted this wall funding for a long time, but it wasn't until Democrats won the House that he really went to the mat for it. How much of all of this do you think is about the new power dynamic and his desire to show you who's really in charge?
I don't get your question. I mean, the point is today we have come to a way to go forward to debate the best ways to protect our border. I don't see this as any power play.
I'm referring to the past 36 days and the fact that he held out over wall funding.
Well, if you're saying that the president held out over wall funding to show who was in charge, I think that's quite a bad statement to make about any leader in our country. But what I do say is let's go forward, get this done. The leader mentioned lessons learned and hope that the people know that we cannot hold our public employees hostage because we have a disagreement. For how many, 34 days? Is it now over 1 month? Having an impact on their lives. So I don't want to make any characterizations of the president's motivation. You'll have to ask him.
Well, yes. So I think Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, is realizing that it wasn't working for them to just say this was all Trump's fault. You know, years ago when Ted Cruz, you remember the whole thing with Ted Cruz when everybody said Ted Cruz with the shutdown, it was his fault. The fact is, back then, you know, Democrats kept saying, you Republicans own this. You Republicans own this. Obama kept coming out and saying that. You Republicans own this because you guys are in charge of the. You guys own this. And the Democrats, I think, realize they can't keep going out there and saying over and over and over again, it's a Trump shutdown, Trump shutdown, Trump temper tantrum, and then vote on nothing and do nothing. And if you notice, that tone today is reflective of that. They realize that. They realize that, hey, look, the people are not buying that he's solely responsible for this. They also believe you're responsible, too. But that said, they're not going to give him any funding for the wall. So we're either going to be here in 3 weeks or something else is going to happen, is my sense. Let's go to Tom in Delaware. Tom, go ahead.
Hi, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I didn't know whether to call you or the constitutional scholar Joy Behar, but
I don't believe she's taking calls today because she's still at the mental hospital.
Okay. Here's my question. In 3 weeks, Trump's got nothing, so Trump shuts down the government and declares a national emergency. The Democrats take him to court, and then he turns around and they say, well, you can open the government and all this. And he says, I can't do anything. It's totally out of my hands. It's now in court, so we have to wait for what the court has to say. So he's taken it from, well, it's half his fault or therefore, to now it's totally on the Democrats in court. And I don't see what he has to lose in that situation.
Well, what you mean in terms of what, the court case or?
Well, yeah. If he says it's a national emergency, and the Democrats say we're taking you to court, and they take him to court, and they put a hold on everything, and then they say, well, what are you going to do about the government? He says, there's nothing I can do. I'd like to, but as long as this situation's in court, it's totally out of my hands.
Well, that is true. It would be out of his hands. But then, do we reopen the government or not at that moment?
I wouldn't reopen the government. I would say it's totally, until this court case is settled and we can do what we can do, this government is shut down and it's totally in the courts, which is on the Democrats.
All right. Well, you know, that could be a long time till the government's reopened, a really long time. And you're going to hear a lot of stories then, you know, Tom, about planes falling out of the sky and people dying of tainted meat. I don't think the will is there for that to be, for government to be closed that long. If it goes to court, which it will, then government reopens, because then they get to say, all right, the court process is going to play out. Let's reopen government now. And that's my concern with the national emergency declaration, is that I actually think it makes the wall less likely, not more likely.
Oh, okay. Well, I would think that he would say, no, I'm not opening the government until this whole thing is resolved.
All right, Tom. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Let's see here. Your thoughts on this. According to Jen, just sent me a note here on an email. Jacob Wall, who's a journalist. He says, White House source, Democrats have threatened President Trump with maximum pressure campaign if he doesn't fold and reopen the government by Sunday. This campaign will include organized walkouts of air traffic control, FDA, DOT, agriculture, and others, crippling the country. Well, I would absolutely believe that. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But if that's true, we're going to be in the same situation in 3 weeks, because I don't see the Democrats giving them the money. So I think we're going to be exactly here again. And then they're going to also use that pressure again. So then what happens then? Now they know that the pressure eventually is going to get to them. That's the problem with this today. I can't call it any other way. It's the truth. I mean, you could say it's brilliant. You can say it's all these other things. I understand that. And he's very good at doing what other politicians are not capable of doing. That said, if this is true, that Democrats were threatening him with this, and that's why the government's reopened, they know that. And then they're going to use it in 6 weeks if they have to. And I think the only way you ever get through to these people, if they believe you don't care, you're not going to reopen the government no matter who walks out, you're not worried about it. And then at that point, they have to do something. And look, maybe that's not politically realistic, but then what's the point of ever having a government shutdown, I guess, would be the question. All right, 855-839-1210. Let's see. Mike is in Spring City. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, bud. You just made my point. If you want that wall built as a citizen, you better go tell your senators and your congressmen and everybody else who has any control over it that that's what you want. And they have to remind us. Doesn't mean they're going to listen to you, but if you want it, you have to go get it. This is just part of the way Mr. Trump is playing it. He's doing what he thinks he knows best to do, and he's going to do it. He's going to do it, and that's all we've got, because he's all you've got.
Well, that's true. I mean, he is all I've got, because I can't imagine and fathom a Democrat in the White House. But that's the point, though, Mike. I'm trying to help him here.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes when people disagree with a decision, it doesn't mean that they don't like him anymore. They just want to help him because they want to make sure that he doesn't have his base stay home in 2020.
I don't think that you don't like him. I don't think that his base dislikes him at all. They're just trying to help him, and they want to figure out what to do. And my thought is, if you want to help him, you've got to make it known. You better let them know what you want.
Oh, absolutely.
Not at all.
You got to do that, no doubt. Mike, thanks for the call, bud. Have a good weekend. John is in Delco. John, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Hey, you said you would take someone who disagreed with you, and I disagree with you in some things and some other things I don't disagree with you on. And one thing I disagree with you on is that Trump clearly is the loser today. Nancy Pelosi clearly is the winner. I am not a liberal. I am a conservative. I am a Republican. I've been voting for Republicans since 1972 when I voted for Dick Nixon. And I clearly, Pelosi's masterfully handled this situation, and Trump blew it from that meeting in the Oval Office when he took full credit for the shutdown. If he had known anything about history or anything about his party, you know the last thing you want to do in a shutdown is get blamed for it. And he stood up and took credit for it after inviting the cameras in that Pelosi and Schumer didn't want in. Once he went on record saying, it's my shutdown, he had lost. And Pelosi knew it. Whether Schumer did or not, I don't know. I don't think Schumer's near as sharp as Pelosi. But she knew he lost. And she just came, you know, she just picked up 40 seats that used to belong to Republicans a few weeks earlier. She knew which way the country was going. Trump didn't seem to understand that.
Okay, a couple things now. Number one, I've not come out and said that I think Trump won the day here. That's number one. Okay. I haven't said that. I have not said Nancy Pelosi has won the day here. It's too early to tell who's won. I think this really hurts the president's negotiating ability in 3 weeks, in my opinion, because I don't think Democrats are going to budge.
Agreed.
Now they know that he will. He will budge. That's number one. Number two, the picking up of 40 seats, you can't look at it like a national wave. These are local elections that have lots of other significant issues that are happening. So I disagree with you on that point.
Okay. 40 is a lot.
What's that?
40 is a lot.
Absolutely it is. No doubt. No question about it. But you had a lot of vacant seats where Republicans weren't running for re-election.
They weren't running like the ones in the counties around Philadelphia because they knew they were going to get beaten. And they did get beaten.
If a Republican...
Patrick barely hung on. He was the only one.
Right. But if a Republican has a seat for decades as an incumbent and then decides not to run again, the entire dynamic changes in that district when you have an open seat. A lot of these people did not beat Republicans. A lot of them won in districts that have been held by Republicans. Just an important distinction is what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, John. Have a good weekend. Appreciate it. Anything else? Anything else?
I was going to say just one other thing. He can't possibly close the government again. That card has been played, dealt, and lost. You can't go back in 3 weeks any more than the Japanese and the Germans could go back a month or two after they surrendered and say, we want a do-over. It doesn't work that way. The Republicans really don't have the stomach to do this again.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And you know it, and I know it.
Well, I think
the audience might as well know it, too. They just don't have that stomach.
A lot of people have been saying all day today who are Trump supporters that they agree with your assessment on this.
Okay.
All right. So I'm just telling you that, John, and thanks for the call. A lot of people feel the way you do. I've long said this has been my idea on this. Okay. My idea has been this. The way the Democrats will give in is if they believe the president will keep this government closed forever. That's how you win with them. And if they don't think he's going to do that, well, then they know that eventually he's going to. And if it's really true that they threaten him to have all these walkouts of the FAA and everything else, and if the conventional thinking is we got to be safe, we got to be safe, our people, our safety, and then you reopen the government, they're going to play that card again. They're just going to play that card a whole lot sooner. So the next time the government shut down, it might be a week. And then the TSA walks out, and the air traffic controllers walk out, and the FDA walks out, and everything else. That's why I really, and I had this conversation with a caller earlier in the show, I got to reject this whole, well, the safety of the American people. I'm sorry, but I can't buy that. If you buy that, then the Democrats are going to win every time. Because it's all they're going to do is try to scare the bejesus out of you. Planes will fall out of the sky. Terrorists, meat, tainted meat, kids dying, drinking bad water. And then you're going to lose every time. Because the minute you start saying, well, we got to be safe, they win every time. Bottom line.
Riccioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.